This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you missed it, by the way, the Sabres game appears to be on again.
Super duper!
If you want to relive it, or just watch it for the first time. Maybe you don't know what happened. You just tuned in. There it is over there on MSG. Sal Capaccio joins us now. The Bills on their way tomorrow to Houston. The rare 1 p.m. Sunday kickoff here for the Bills in Week 5. And like we've talked about this week, and with our guest Sam Panayotovich earlier from BetQL, the line is kind of ping-pong back and forth, a point either way, but considered pretty much an even matchup here, Bills and Texans. Sal, I know this morning you and we all together found out the Bills have a couple of other key injury losses here now with Ed Oliver. We talked about him yesterday getting hurt in practice. Khalil Shakir out all week and also ruled out for this game on Sunday. I asked Bulldog earlier, how about you? Which loss is bigger?
I would say Khalil Shakir. Ed Oliver is a really disruptive force sometimes in the middle of the defense, but he's a rotational player. He plays a lot, and this is not the Baltimore Ravens. This is a team that actually has struggled a little bit to run the ball. What you're missing from Ed Oliver, not having him, is interior penetration. But I think Khalil Shakir, you only have five healthy receivers, and there's questions already right now on those guys and getting separation and catching the ball and distribution, and now you're missing your number one. I mean, that's your number one wide receiver right now. You're out. So I think Khalil Shakir is a bigger deal.
I think, yeah, that was my answer too, Sal, especially considering Houston's, I see a team that I believe can be exploited down the field. And so losing Shakir, I think, is going to really sting and could even, you know, hamper that. The other part about Oliver, though, is that they're already down Austin Johnson too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's
That's true.
Another,
I mean, if you take the sum of everything, I would think, and Von Miller, obviously,
right, on
the edge.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you take the sum of the position, obviously, the trickle down effect, like losing Ed Oliver, just compounds a problem. But individually, I think that losing Khalil Shakir, but positionally too, guys, I mean, look, but you can also, they signed Zion Logue. I don't know what he can bring to you, if he's going to be active or not. They can elevate Ilyanku or Branson Dean. I mean, these guys are, you know, bigger bodies that can help out a little bit, and they have some experience playing in the NFL. Cameron Klein, obviously, or Kingsley Jonathan, guys like that, you know, can come up.
Yep.
I mean, you could elevate KJ Hamler. You could elevate Tyrell Shavers. I think that, you know, the drop-off to what you're getting to the next guy from Khalil Shakir is a little bit more of a question mark overall. Although, one for one, it might just be Curtis Samuel for a Shakir, but then what happens in what Samuel would normally do? You know what
right,
I mean?
Sure. There's got to be some kind of trickle down there. Yeah, maybe this right. ends up being the game where we go, thank God they signed Curtis Samuel, because so far this year it's been, you know, really not much at all so far. I'd say almost shockingly so.
Yeah, in fact, Sean McDermott said something like that. I read earlier, it was on Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News on her Twitter, and she had the quote. Let me read it, because after he did his radio appearance with me on the Extra Point Show, he then meets with the Buffalo local media, and she wrote, on Khalil Shakir's injury, Sean McDermott said, quote, "We're thankful we have Curtis."
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a pretty interesting quote right there from the head coach.
Let me hop back to the defensive tackle position, because Dwayne Carter, third-round pick.
The Chiefs trade.
Yeah. How has that gone so far? Really, the only time I noticed him so far this year, and, you know, I'm not one of these film breakdown guys, okay, but just watching the games was him sort of, in my view, maybe celebrating a little too much about making a tackle against Baltimore when the game was already pretty out of hand. I saw, like, somebody sort of celebrating a tackle down close to the goal line. Like, who's that? Calm down. Oh, the rookie. That doesn't have to stick to him, but I didn't like it. What do you think they have in that player, and what has he shown you, if anything, so far this year?
Yeah, he's only played 31% of the defensive snaps, so he hasn't been in all that much. But, you know, again, a rotational piece that they use. It hasn't really flashed that much for me necessarily, but he did make, except for that one play, like you said. And I noticed he celebrated. I mean, you know, he's a rookie. He just made a big play in a Sunday night national TV game, so I guess the juices are flowing. I totally understand, you know, maybe a little bit excessive considering the score at the time or what was going on. This is a guy I think that, to me, he's going to play a long time in this league. I think he's got kind of the tools. His floor is pretty high. I don't know how high his ceiling, though, is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how productive he's going to be when you look at the end of the day on the stat sheet. He's not going to jump off necessarily, but he's probably going to be a solid producer who you can rely on to do the job. Last week, someone, you know, tweeted at me how undersized he is. And I went and looked and said, he's not really. I mean, he's probably, you know, undersized for an average defensive tackle. He is shorter than what you'd probably want. I mean, he's 6'2". A lot of times your D tackles are 6'3", 6'4". But Ed Oliver's even, you know, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's over 300 pounds. And really, I mean, in today's NFL, you're going to have a lot of bigger guys, but they're going to be kind of situational guys. Really, a lot of the linemen you're seeing now, defensive linemen, a little bit more of an undersized athletic type, which we've talked about is maybe one of the reasons why, you know, teams are running a little bit more these days as well. So I don't think he's super undersized. I mean, he's a little bit shorter, like I said,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he's got to use that to his advantage. But this is a team, again, this is not the Baltimore Ravens. They're not going to just body you up and try to bully you. This is a team that maybe a Dwayne Carter could have a little bit more of an impact against.
I want to get back to some of these individual situations the Bills have, but since you said that, Sal, what are the Texans then? I mean, they're definitely hyped. Stroud was phenomenal, and Collins leads the league in receiving yards. Diggs is Diggs. There is a lot to like about the Texans, but how high is the ceiling for you? How good a team is this?
They're not as good as I thought they'd be right now. I thought they'd be a lot better. I mean, I shouldn't say it. They're 3-1, right? I had a lot of, like, oh, my God, the Texans are going to be a real problem in the AFC for a while after last mm-hmm. year and most of last year. I just think C.J. Stroud is fantastic, and I still do think that. But, you know, if you go back and look at some of the games last year, I think that, you know, their schedule was not quite as tough. They struggled a couple of times and had a nice couple of wins at ends of games. Even this year, they go to Minnesota and just get absolutely pounded. And there's been last week against Jacksonville, they really just let the Jags hang around and almost lost that game at the end. So I think there's some flaws there. I just can't pick up heart like, oh my God, they're really bad here. It seems like they have a nice roster. They've done a really good job with the front seven to kind of rebuild that after being really bad there for a couple of years. And Willie Anderson Jr. comes over and Danielle Hunter, you know, gets signed as a free agent. Obviously, they have a lot of weapons, right? We know that. But it seems like they're a team that's, last year, maybe, you know, pushing the ball down the field, some big plays. They've done that a couple times this year, but now it seems like it's just more of a grind it, you know, get there and try and score. And then they're really kind of, you know, it reminds me of last year a lot with the Bills guys, how the Bills would move the ball, and then something bad would happen. They'd have a penalty, they'd have a turnover, they'd have a sack. And that's kind of what has happened here with the Texans a little bit on offense.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they how this matchup unfolds, Sal, because the Bills have been so good. They're, the outside corners here, Benford and Douglas, have been excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, big plays down the field is, you know, the Bills' expertise is taking those away. So, you know, but the middle could be dicey, and maybe that's where Diggs comes in. He's worked a lot in the slot so far for Houston. So, like you're saying, kind of more dink and dunk than down the field. And maybe that'll be available to them with the Bills still compromised to some extent in the middle, although, I don't know, I guess we can get to Bernard and Taron Johnson here and how optimistic we should be here 2 days out for either of them to play. I mean, they could be big difference makers if, you know, fit.
I am as or more optimistic on Terrell Bernard. I don't know if I could get any more. I kind of believed all week he's going to play, so I don't know if you can get more optimistic than that. I'd be surprised if he didn't play, I guess. Really surprised. I'm more optimistic on Taron Johnson after today than I had been all week. I really thought that it was going to be, okay, you know, we're going to hear on Friday that he's not going to play like they did with Terrell Bernard last week. That wasn't the case. He's questionable. He truly is, you know, it's possible that he could play, and we'll see what they decide to do there. So, yeah, I mean, even getting just Terrell Bernard back would be a really big boost for this defense in the middle of the defense. And, you know, Bill Inspector made a few nice plays. He's, you know, he had the sack of Lamar Jackson. But the offense, the defense is just different with Terrell Bernard, because when you have that one piece in the middle that is high IQ, captain, as good as he is at both the run game and, you know, coverage, it just lets everybody else kind of settle into their roles better, right? And we've talked about, and I have, how that's not Bill Inspector. Bill Inspector is he's almost more of a throwback traditional middle linebacker, right? Like, he has some athleticism. He's not Terrell Bernard. He's a go straight ahead, more make the tackle kind of guy, more of a throwback kind of guy. That is also a little bit what Dorian Williams is, but Dorian Williams is super fast. He can get sideline to sideline, but he's really see ball, get ball. And if you have two of those guys together, it does kind of really put you at a disadvantage in a lot of situational football that the other team wants to play. When you have Terrell Bernard, you can have him kind of doing his thing, and then Dorian Williams, it's a little bit easier to allow him to kind of play his game a little bit more free. So I do think that it's a big boost if they get Terrell Bernard back, and I think it is trending, you know, that way. Also in the middle of the field, though, no Taylor Rapp. We know that. It's going to be really interesting, guys. I'm excited to see Cole Bishop in his first NFL start.
Me too.
Right? I mean, we could learn a lot from Cole Bishop. And, Mike, this game, depending on his performance, could say something about how much time he gets going forward, to be honest.
Yeah. Earlier, I'm asking about the two new injuries, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's the biggest one because of Nico Collins' highlights flashing in my head. And is this guy ready for this particular test? It's not, like you're saying, I agree, the worst matchup for the Bills for who they are. But there is big play potential. Houston doesn't seem to really care about how many safeties, if your safeties are in the parking lot or not. Like they're gonna go for it, which makes me like them. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. I don't mean so much in this game, and just, you know, in general. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Back to Samuel for a minute. What is your explanation for how little he's produced? It's two catches for 12 yards on average per game, so 8 for 48. Is it injury related? Is it just that they don't have room?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For what else they're doing, is it defensible that he hasn't played more or done more?
I don't have a great explanation. I can only guess. Let me rephrase that even. I don't know the explanation. I'm wondering as well. And my guess is that the injury could have some sort of impact, but he's not been on the injury report. So that means that he's not even seemed like he's fine there.
Yep.
So the only thing I can go to is opportunity. And he's not been on the field all that much, snap count-wise. So if you're not on the field, you're not going to get as much opportunity. I really don't know, guys. I don't know exactly what's going on there. Defensible? No, I think that's the two things that I can't kind of wrap my head around with what has happened here for the first few weeks are, number one, why hasn't Curtis Samuel played more? Why hasn't he been more productive? I was really excited about that free agent signing. I think he is a really good football player, and he could help this offense. I do think this week is going to be a week where he needs to be that. He needs to be a good football player who helps this offense. The other one is Mike Edwards and the fact that he can't even get a jersey now. I mean, now obviously I would think this week might be different because Taylor Rapp is out. Mike Edwards, Sean McDermott said they signed him to be a starter. He's inactive. He's a healthy scratch. So those are two, to me, free agents who, if you had asked me, like, which free agents could make the most impact, I think on each side of the ball, I would have said probably, Curtis Samuel and Mike Edwards. And yet here, either of them are not really doing much at all. And in Edwards' case, he's not even playing.
Seeing as how he's going to be in the crosshairs here come Sunday, Sal, how about just a little refresher on what and who exactly Cole Bishop is? Like, what are his strong traits? What are the things to maybe watch out for? Like, how can he be manipulated or exploited by Houston?
Well, listen, they're going to try to, I'm sure, they're going to try to play games with him and trick him or fool him, right? I mean, he's a young safety. He's getting his first start in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. This is a guy that is not afraid of contact. He's going to come downhill. He's going to hit you. His biggest advantage, I think, coming in from the standpoint of what I just said about trying to confuse, though, is he played in a complex offense defense at Utah. That was, when he came out, a lot of people wondered, like, well, can he handle the Bills' scheme? He handled a very tough scheme at Utah. And I think that has probably been good for him to kind of get in here now and probably understand some concepts he has seen before, he's learned before in some capacity. But it's going to be a different game. They're going to play games with him. He's a physical guy who can make plays athletically, obviously. I think he's kind of an all-around safety like that. He's more in the mold of a Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer than he would be maybe a Damar Hamlin. So I think that's really good. It's a kind of that safety that they've liked to have. But I do think because he's young, that he's going to get tested early. He's going to get tested with confusion and to see if they can put him in a bind to try and go attack him.
So the big question, what do we get from Stephon Diggs? And I mean, like, before the game, are there handshakes? Is it chilly?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's cordial.
I would be stunned if it's not, Mike, to be honest with you. I mean, if it's not, then wow, like, okay, here we go, right? Like, yeah, I remember couple weeks ago before, the Bills played the Jags and Gabe Davis. And so the game was at 7:30. The yep. Gates opened at 5:30 for fans. There was no fans in there. So it had to be 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in that area. And there's Gabe on the field, and here comes Josh. And sure enough, he just makes a beeline, walks right up to him. They do the hand slap and bro hug and how's everything going? And Josh made a funny gesture to the cameras, like, get away, and kind of walked away playfully and came back to him. And it was all love, right? I mean, that's what they gave to each other, no doubt about it. Same thing with Mitch Morris. You wouldn't expect anything less there.
I don't expect anything less with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen or a lot of other players, to be quite honest with you. It seems like it's been very cordial on both sides ever since he's gone. Both players have been asked a lot about, you know, that relationship, where that stands. Neither has said anything derogatory about the other team or the other players. It seems like everything's kind of been on script, whether that's just because you want to keep it on script or you fully, you know, have this unbelievable love for each other. Whatever it is, at least that's the way it's being played out here, and I don't expect any different on Sunday morning.
I can't believe I'm about to ask this, but like railroad signals are going off as I'm about to ask this. Uh-oh. This is such an asinine thing to ask, but when he greeted Davis, was there the special handshakes, the individual handshakes that he has with the guys on his team and that he would have had with Davis and Diggs, or was it just a standard, you know, hey, good to see you greeting? Because I think it would be a real power move by Allen if Diggs went in for the special handshake and Allen's like, you're not on my team anymore.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, so from what I remember, it was just the regular handshake. I don't think we all would have noticed if it was the the super secret deal that they did at practice all the time.
I saw it too.
No one had that on video.
I saw it too. Like, I was in the booth looking down on the field when these guys met, and it was just very friendly.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, that to me, not that it has to mean anything, but to me, like, I don't know if I would assume it would be that friendly Sunday. But, you know, I'm asking you if there'll be anything, and you're like, yeah, there'll be something.
I think so. I mean, there's a possibility. I guess, to me, it would probably, if there was anyone that says, I'm just not going to do that, I'm in game mode, that would be more on Stephon's side, because we've already seen this from the other side, and we know that, you know, the Bills and Josh Allen and Gabe Davis or anybody else, but I still would be pretty surprised if that wasn't the case, if we didn't see them get together, say hello, hey man, how's everything going? All right, good luck today, talk to you later.
You know, I tend to just sort of almost entirely dismiss motivation stuff in pro sports, you know, game to game. It necessarily implies that teams are unmotivated, relatively unmotivated for other games. They don't have like a personal grudge or some sort of revenge to enact. Like, oh, well, the Baltimore game, maybe the Bills just didn't care that much, which I just do not see sports that way. But I do want to just ask about the possibility or how it might manifest in this game with Diggs, mm-hmm. who is always so supercharged emotionally anyway. And if he, you know, can take that to a higher level, I don't know, like he's going to want to, and maybe you want to expect that. And then the Bills, maybe it's not the same for them playing against him. Just what might you think, how might you think this particular storyline matters?
I like this subject a lot. Go ahead, Sal.
I actually think, Mike, that it matters on both sides. When you just ended that with, not that it would matter as much for the Bills. No, I think there's people on the Bills that would really are going to relish, you know, an opportunity to go against him and maybe stop him. That would be my
stop
thought.
Stop him and also just outplay his team. Like, I think this is, like, I'm worried about Allen being too revved up. Because Diggs is the central figure in Allen is overrated. I think, right? Like he's the genesis of that to a large extent. Now he's gone. Let's see what Allen can do. And even though he's not playing on that side of the ball, I would think Allen would love. Of course, like Mike said, he'd always love to have a 350-yard, 4-touchdown game. I think in this spot, man, I don't want to say I'm expecting it, but geez, I would bet he's really fired up for this.
I wouldn't doubt it. I think part of the reason Josh Allen won AFC Offensive Player of the Month, though, is because he's been the opposite of that. He's been calm and collected, right? He threw the ball, obviously, the one against Baltimore, which was amazing. But really, he's been in control and under control. So you hope, like you said, Bull, like you don't get too hyped up, right? And become Josh Allen from the 2019 game down in Houston in the playoffs.
Right.
Nothing like that. I'm even talking about more from a defensive side. I mean, Christian Benford has been here 2 years covering Stephon Diggs at practice, and Taron Johnson has, and Rasul Douglas was here. Rasul Douglas is a pretty emotional guy. He can get into it. He had the finger wag after the Gabe Davis play, remember, you know, when they played a couple of weeks ago, right? I'll tell you guys, I mean, you know, you're always looking for an advantage, right? And Mike, you hit the nail on the head. He's super emotional. I guarantee you they're talking about ways to get under his skin. Like, yeah, if you do this or that, like, you can throw him off his game and get under his skin a little bit. He's going to get upset. He might bark at the sidelines. But they become it becomes a story for them. Let's make sure, like, that can happen. I'm expecting that. And then from Diggs' side, oh, my gosh, yeah, of course, he would love. I think, actually, even not so much him personally, he would love it. I bet you the Texans want to get him a touchdown. Like,
sure.
I think the Texans will do what they can, and they get in the red zone. It's like, okay, we got Stephon Diggs curling up at the goal line, hit him for a pass.
They'd
and
be,
get 6 points.
To me, stupid to not try to plug into him for this
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
Like, I'm thinking of instances when he was with the Bills where Diggs would sort of like Marshawn Lynch would say, right? Like, go through a you-know-whatter's face, right? Like, Diggs, there was a few times. The Bengal game, even, that ended when Hamlin got injured so severely as he did. Like, the first possession of that game for the Bills, Diggs, like, went right at one of the cornerbacks. Like, I'm not going out of bounds. I'm not trying to juke you. I am going through you all night.
Yeah.
And I would bet Diggs gets a chance to do that to Benford or Douglas or Cam Lewis or whomever. He is absolutely going to do it.
I would probably agree there. I would agree, and I think the opposite is true. I think if those guys have a chance to show them that they're here to play football, and you're not my teammate anymore, and I want to show that, you know, we can do this without you, and you're on the other side, and you're the enemy, I think that is also the case.
Brace yourselves for H-Town alternate uniforms, by the way, if you haven't seen this.
Those are atrocious.
Kind of an old English H is the helmet. Like, sort of a dark metallic blue look with red numbers. It's still their colors, but just a different look for the Texans.
And the Bills are wearing their all whites.
Yes. Makes sense.
Guaranteed win.
Bulldog loves the white pants, even after Labor Day. Sal, thank you. Have a nice time down there.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
I do think about the
Labor Day rules.
I do.
Very important.
I was supposed to play the guitar at a show in Zor Valley on Labor Day Sunday, and I thought,
if this show were 2 days later,
it's not Labor Day yet.
It's not Labor Day yet.
Here come the white pants. I'm bringing the white pants out to Zor Valley. All right. Anyway, sales appearance, by the way, with us, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You guys ready for Stephon Diggs Sunday? Bills Texans, let us know what you expect. The Shakir and Oliver injuries. The Bills, again, have a list here of key men that they'll not have for their Week 5 game in Houston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday continues. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com